Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 111, Making the Invisible Visible.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, after going through all the astrology last week, this subject came to mind, especially with Neptune still going retrograde in Pisces. There is so much mystery out there. There is so much that is being invisible, becoming visible. And I've also been aware of how many people are having psychic experiences, metaphysical experiences, unexplained experiences, and that might be you. Maybe I'm talking to you, and they may not have been recent, they may have been in the past. So even though you may have seen something as a child or seen something out the corner of your eye, you may have been told, oh, it's rubbish, don't think of that. Or it's because you were watching that program, or it was just a dream, or you're a little crazy, or don't talk about those things. Have you ever been spoken to in those ways? Have you ever seen something and then it's being dismissed? Or maybe you've dismissed it because you couldn't understand it and you just said, well, it happened. I don't know what it was about. Well, I want you to investigate yourself, to be your own psychic investigator, and to realize that there are many things in heaven and earth that we can't explain, but that are occurring. And in my mind, becoming stronger and stronger now. We are in this time of amazing transition, as I keep telling us, so that we don't get lost in it. But we are being helped by so many different levels. So it may just be our own guidance, our own family who have passed over, our own soul family. It may be those from the galactic center, from other dimensions, from other universes. So much is happening at this time. And it's not, if I may say, just about us. We'd like to think it's all just about us, but it's also about the earth and her transition and the beings on this earth and their transition along with us and the trees and the stones. So everything is going through a transition, and you will be amazed by the entities that are here on this planet who are using this opportunity, this portal that's opened to actually leave this earth plane. So that there are ETs, UFOs that have been held in this earth plane for thousands of years waiting for this moment. And maybe we're doing the same. And when we talk about ascension or we talk about leaving, it isn't necessarily leaving our body. It's literally shifting our perception. It may well be leaving this planet so you're never seen again. But it may also be that as I'm experiencing, I'm expanding my consciousness. I'm experiencing so much more. And I'm less in touch with those who don't see the things that I see. Not from any judgment place, but just recognizing that my bulk of my perception cannot enter a space that I don't know anymore. I did know it probably, but I can't go there as easily as I used to be able to. Does that make sense? I used to pride myself of being able to understand everybody, to be able to chameleon myself into somebody else's awareness. And I'm now realizing that I can't do that as easily. And in fact, I don't want to, that it was part of my wanting to help people was to try and understand them. And now I kind of say, I don't understand you. And that's not from, again, a place of judgment, just that I'm seeing red, you're seeing blue. I'm just saying that that's where I'm choosing to go. And your way is perfect. My way is perfect. God bless us all. So, as I'm speaking about that, I'm also talking to those of us who have had mystical experiences, as many of you have. And I go back to saying that maybe you caught something out of the corner of your eye, or you saw a shadow figure, or you heard something whispered, or you knew something before it was going to happen. Am I talking to you? And all these experiences are really important. And they come with a variety of ways of hearing, of being seen and heard. But I'm going to talk at this moment just about what is called a shadow man or a shadow figure. And these kind of encompass everything we need to know because it feels that there are these shadow figures, shadow men that have been seen, and you may have seen a figure in the shadows as well. And what has been seen is that even in daylight, these figures appear in doorways where it's dark or in places where it's dark. And it may well be that we can see these things much more clearly when there is a shadow. You know, it's that twilight zone, so that our vision isn't entirely caught up in this is definitely this or definitely not. So it puts us in that place where we say, maybe, maybe not. You understand? So what is a shadow man? There are various ways of looking at this. So we have to start with ghosts. Now, all ghosts are not negative. Just because you see something, it doesn't mean it's going to affect you negatively or it is a negative figure. So you may well see a loved one who comes to visit you before they die. I wonder if any of you have had that. Or as they die, that's very common, that you see a grandfather figure, a parent figure, whoever, coming and saying goodbye. And that is in that transition period, it's much easier for the spirit to move between the dimensions. I don't know what period of time, but let's say about a week. I've seen spirits at their own funeral a few weeks after they died, but then there's a period where they have to leave. So it may be a few weeks. I think it's very much dependent on the culture. Some people believe that the spirit leaves as soon as they die. Some believe it leaves in 3 days. Some believe it may leave only when it's had the funeral, depending when that funeral is. But the common theme is that this individual can go and visit different individuals, their loved ones, and say, I'm going, or give them a message, or say it's going to be okay. And you may well at that same time see spirits coming to collect that person, so that as someone is dying, it's not uncommon for them to meet or be met by their loved ones. And as a nurse or doctor, you often hear them talk and they say, oh, I've just met my sister. And you think, well, no, your sister's been dead for 10 years. But actually the sister did appear. They did come and meet you at that time. It's amazing. And the reason that some people know about something, it's called precognition, before someone dies, is some way, I think, to prepare us. And it may be months before. So I wonder if any of you have been prepared in that way. And what can run into problems is when we think that because we knew something was going to happen, we caused it. And that ties into that ability in ourselves to be the sorceress, the knower, the oracle, the being, that the seer. So many of you in your past lives, if you've had that experience of having precognition, will have been a seer, an oracle, someone who could tell the future. But it's really inherent in us not to get caught up in the fact we can see the future, it doesn't mean that we create it. Sometimes, especially as a child, I'm very sad when a child tells me, or someone who's an adult now, tells me that they knew their mother was going to die, and their childlike mind switches it into, I must have caused that person to die, which is not a truth. Okay, so we move from the idea of spirits who visit us, who may come to say goodbye. We may also have spirits that visit us just because we're in a stress state or we need to hear from them. That's another possibility. And then we move into other eras. Now, we could have had a place where we live, where the dimensions are very intermingled. So literally a space holds different times. So in other words, if you've living in a place, there may well be that when the veil is thin and in that twilight zone, you can see beings who are living at other times, but within your same space. We call those ghosts, but really they're just interdimensional beings. And some of those interdimensional beings may be from the future. So it may well be that you're living in this time, they're living in the future in the same space. So we have to be very careful to not see them as something that we need to get rid of, that something is bad. It's actually something that needs to be there. But then there are beings who have got stuck in a time zone or not been able to move out and what we would say towards the light. And many of you have experienced that, going into a house where you know there's an energy there. Now, this is the bit more complicated piece of this, that when someone knows they're about to die, and maybe they're even planning that death for themselves, the soul leaves earlier than the actual physical death. And so as the soul leaves, they leave behind the etheric body. Now, the etheric body is, we could say, our more superficial layer of our subtle bodies. And it's literally what holds the physical body together. I describe it like the light that you put on outside and the moths gather around that light. So you consider that there is just a ball of moth, which is what we see as our body. But when we turn the light off, which is the etheric body, the physical body dissolves. So normally at death, that separation takes place over time, and you can literally see the soul leaving. But when it's a more sudden death or a more stressful death, then there's a sudden break between the soul and the etheric body. And that etheric body continues to walk or do whatever it was doing for hundreds of years. So people have seen Anne Boleyn walking to have her head cut off. And it's not Anne Boleyn, she's gone. But the fact of the matter is you see the etheric body continually walking to the block where this was going to happen. And the etheric body is not a spirit. It's not something trying to affect you, or we could say it's not a ghost. It is literally just an energy that's repeating this pattern until it wears itself down. So sometimes you'll say, well, I can see the whole figure, but slowly over time, you'll only see pieces of that etheric body. So you can't, it's nothing that we can fix to say, well, go to the light, because this is just, it's almost like an imprint, an echo that's been left behind. Now, separate from that are those who have got stuck into this world, and we would call them spirits who have not been able to go to the light. And they're often lost in this twilight zone. And some of the reason that spirits get lost here or left here is because they're almost addicted to the world that we're living in. So somebody who literally feels, wants the chemical addiction, let's say of alcohol or of drugs, or even of pain, or of, and you might say, why would anybody want pain? But it's that they know. They don't know anything else. That's maybe the way I'm wanting to say it. It's not necessarily they want this experience, but they don't know anything else. When they die, they can't always pour us on. And so we often find people who are, you know, where the stories go of someone who is starving to death or someone who's very unhappy, and they stay in that place because it's almost like they don't know anything else. So if you did come across such a being, then it is wise for you to bring the light in, because they literally, we have to attract the light from the other side. We will call it the other side. We have to bring spirits in of light to welcome that individual into the other worlds. In other words, the light beings who help someone pass over can't always reach someone who is very attached to this world. And so we have to help that. And you can light candles, you can use sage, but mostly just love, move. It's time for you to go home. And I don't know how many of you have had those experiences, but I wanted just to give a completion on that. Now, there are other ways in which we can meet shadow men. Now, I've been talking about the ghosts mainly, And they can be astral travelers. And an astral traveler is something that we all do because we do it during our dream state. So you might say, oh, I dreamt of this person. I was just really there with them. And then I woke up and they weren't there. It was just a dream. So we all astral travel. And this is the ability to move away from time and space. And we leave our body and we meet someone we love. And then we come back into our body again. And that experience is one where we say, it wasn't it wonderful? I could do healing. I could give them a hug. I could say goodbye, whatever. But there are times where someone might astral travel that isn't so comfortable for us. In other words, you may see a figure in your room that doesn't feel so good. And it's more pertinent where, as I would say, you've shared fluids with that person. Now, what do I mean? What we know from the Native Americans is this: if you've shared fluids, if you had sex with someone and you've had intimacy with someone, we're connected to that person for the next 3 years. Oh, goodness, now you're thinking. And if you've lived with them longer than that, there's a deeper connection. So the more the astral world is both the psychic world, but the emotional world. So the more we're attached to someone emotionally, the more likely we are to travel or be able to travel through the astral world to meet them. And that may or may not be a good thing for you. So I remember a lady telling me that one day she woke up and her dog, who never came up to the bedroom where she slept, had come up to the bedroom and was sitting on her bed growling at a figure in the doorway. And she knew that was her husband, her ex-husband, I should say. And she knew that the dog was keeping him away. This man had done a lot of stealing of energy, stealing of power from his wife, from his ex-wife, and he was trying to do it again. So when we have such astral awareness, it is good to do either the cutting the ties, where you literally cut the tie and say, that's it. But more importantly is to maybe use what I call the golden diamond, which is to put a pyramid above you, pyramid under your feet, a diamond, and say, anything that does not resonate or nurture my soul, return to the source now. And you can still allow the light to come in at the top and the bottom of your diamond. And when you see anybody or feel that anybody's there who has been stealing your energy, vampiring your energy, it's really important to say, get out now, leave me alone, whatever words you want. But it has to come from a place of now, not, oh, well, if you wouldn't mind, if you would be very good, if you could just do this thing. It's moving that person on. And you can do that whether or not they're astral traveling to you or not. Astral travel is really, and is, you know, we say, fine, it's lovely, I met up with someone I love, but it's also a coming into it. So it's actually coming into your sacred space, which is not okay. It's an invasion. And I'm very much against invasions of sacred space. So I know that I've met magicians, puppeteers who have said, oh, look what I can do. I can travel to into your bedroom. And I'll say, why would you do that? In other words, all you're doing is showing off. So there is no part to play in someone invading someone else's space. And occasionally this can even come to the point of psychic attack. I don't know if you've ever been psychically attacked. It's on that same level where it's in the astral world. It's someone who doesn't like you or someone who wants to hurt you. And I've had a couple of psychic attacks in my life. Always, I've been very protected. I remember being behind a window or a screen, and they were trying to attack me, but my own inner guidance, my own self, protected me from that. And I said, that's it. So when we are psychically attacked, you know that that's someone you don't want to have a forward relationship with. And it's never bothered, you know, it's really never harmed me, but it's made me very clear of the amount of energy this person has towards me. And I've moved that person out of my life. So I hope this is helping you. So there's a whole range of shadow men. You're understanding this. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it really is so important for us to not get caught up in only seeing one source of what we call a ghost or a spirit. Now, I want to reiterate, there are interdimensional beings coming into our world now, and some of those we call ETs. And again, there's a tendency to see ETs in only one format. So if we call them our star being family or our star family, it kind of ties back into our soul family. In other words, beings of the same frequency who resonate with us. So ETs are not only something out there, but there's something in here, as we've talked about. They are part of us. And there are various groups of ETs who are more connected to the Earth at this time than ever before. Many of you may know about the greys, and the greys tend to be very tall with long arms, have kind of oval eyes. If you ever see of the images out of Roswell, they're always around the greys. And who were the greys? The greys were a group of another planet, another group like ourselves, who decided to genetically engineer out the emotions because they saw that was the problem for humanity. Now, we've got to be really mindful that that is not a direction we want to go into. That when we don't have emotions, we actually no longer function as human beings. But the greys did this, and then they realized that they actually couldn't reproduce in the way they thought they could. So that you may have read over decades now, the greys have been coming, sometimes abducting people, taking literally genetic information so that they could reproduce and create a line of beings who are more like us, heaven forbid. But they may take eggs or sperm, or they may take cells. And truly, the greys now have changed from what we saw as a rather cruel group many decades ago to beings who are more in harmony with us. And many see that the greys will be the future for us in terms of hybrid children, new children coming in with sort of grey. And the grey is not a good word, but with this sort of awareness of our star beingness and our humanness coming together. Now, I'm saying all of that because there are other groups, the Arcturians. They often appear as blue beings, or you may have seen energy. There are so many different ways that we can see different groups. And again, remember that they take on a format that will help us to understand them. So they may look like a human, but they're really just showing us that's a format they can take on board. It doesn't mean that they have two arms and nose and two arms, two eyes, a nose and a mouth. So maybe you've also seen shadow men as ETs. That's where I'm coming back to. Or maybe you met ETs at the corner of your eye when you're out playing as a child, or maybe they came to visit. Maybe some of you even were abducted. Do you have periods of time when you just can't remember? I'm not talking about not remembering your childhood, but can you remember a time that was very weird where it felt that you'd been a long way away, but it was only a few minutes had passed, or where electrical systems go awry? And if you want to know more about that, I would look at the Mary Rodwell work, very good work of how she's now counseling those who have been abductees, because they're far more beings or people who have been abducted that have kept quiet about it, but they don't know what to do with the information. So again, I'm bringing this to you today because I want us all to start to talk about these things and not to see them as either crazy, but as, wow, this is who I am. This is my world. This is our world, that we're not just us as beings. Who are the beings that you talk to? And so that really takes us then on to the idea of, do we actually have guidance? And we all have guidance. Everybody. People say, who are my guides? Really, you don't want to necessarily name them, because as you name them, you limit them. So just to know that you trust this energy that comes in, it's fine if you say, oh, they look like this or they look like this. But they, again, are taking on that form for you to accept what they're saying. All right. And they may give you a name and you go, oh, fine, now I'm talking to this individual. But that may also limit who they are. What we're needing to do is to be able to trust our hearts. Maybe you see them, maybe you have a knowing, but nobody is without guidance. Everybody is being supported at this time. And you may ask them, you know, give me a name, or you may say, where have you come from? But what I know is that if you've never thought outside our own solar system, for instance, you're never going to meet a being who comes from another universe, because that's not where your mind goes. And this brings me probably to the last piece of how we can also make up a story, how our mind will make up what we see. I think it's called pareidolia, and if I pronounce that wrong, let me know. don't let me know. But it's in those words where we can see something out the corner of our eye, and then our brain does what it always does, is create something. And so this idea that the perception can be created by the brain's experiences doesn't take away everything I've said, but we have to be mindful of that. Okay, so always it's like, okay, did I see that? Or what could that have been that I interpreted as that? I don't know if any of you have done that. You think there's a shadow there, and then you go and you see it's an old coat, or it's just something that's hanging on the wall that looked like that. More and more of us are having those experiences. And there's just one other group I want to talk about, is the paralyzed, you know, when you're paralyzed in your sleep paralysis, where you usually what happens is that when we go to sleep, especially when we go into our REM sleep, our dream state, our muscles relax and it's like a paralysis. But sometimes we're woken up and our muscles haven't come back to beingness. And so we literally feel paralyzed, and it's very scary. And you may well see again a dark figure at that time, think that something's going to attack you. And it feels like that. And then your muscles come back and you wake up fully. And this is usually occurs much more commonly when we're stressed, or maybe we're taking certain drugs that cause this to happen. But sleep paralysis really tells us that we have to relax more before we go to sleep. Otherwise, we're going to have problems. So I think I've covered the gamut of the visible and the invisible, and I hope that this will help you. I hope, really, not necessarily that you're going to go out looking for more, but that you'll start to look back and say, you know, I had that experience. I have precognition. Someone did visit me before they died. Yes, I have been in a home where many things were happening. Yes, I have been around those where the energy didn't feel good and I needed to clear the energy. This isn't for you, for anybody to say, I'm going to become a ghost hunter. This is more about putting everything into balance at this time and realizing that as Neptune is in Pisces, everything is dissolving. Everything we believe to be true is dissolving, and the veils have disappeared. And this is why we have so much virtual reality, which is why people are talking about holograms, why people are talking in different ways about what is reality, what is true. And once we start to accept that it's not just that we don't know what the truth is, but the truth is much more exciting and magical than we ever thought it could be. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the HeartSpeak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of HeartSpeak.